moved back to Ireland from New Zealand in 2013 on the back of a fairly long year of suffering and insomnia and anxiety and anxiety attacks and panic attacks, and was eventually diagnosed with unipolar depression. And it was a tough few years. I think probably tough 18 months especially. It's tough getting 1 or 2 hours sleep a night. And I came home to... I began the journey, I suppose, into service use in New Zealand when I was there. And I came home, spoke to my GP locally in Monaghan Town, and they referred me to the services up at St. Davenant's. And I accessed the services up there initially in the psychiatry side of things to try and get my medication sorted. And then after that, the psychology services and a program called a RAP program, if you're aware of that, Aaron. It's a very good program that's run for folks who have had struggles, I suppose, in the past with managing themselves or managing their own mental health. You know, it can be for anybody that has, you know, a little bit of anxiety, to folks that have really struggled in their lives with, you know, lots of different diagnoses that's out there at the moment.
Mm. And you describe yourself now as, among other things, but a service or a former service user. So you have been through the services, as you've outlined there, and you've seen the benefits of what they can do for you.
100%. Yeah, I'm not going to say now it was an easy kind of journey into mental health. I suppose I had my own hang-ups with regards to stigma around mental health as well. I wouldn't have identified you know, folks that suffered with depression or anxiety as folks I probably were able to relate with. I had empathy for, but I suppose I wasn't able to relate with them very much until it was, of course, myself in the driving seat. And it's funny how you can learn to let go of the stigma. That takes time. It whenever I first accessed the services, I found that I really struggled with even just opening up and speaking to the psychologist in front of me. But over the course of time, and with a lot of motivation and a lot of sort of motivation from other people and my family especially, that I was able to access, I suppose, parts of the trauma of the past of my life that you probably need to access from a mental health perspective to really put to bed maybe some of the things that might have accrued over the years that I didn't deal with, you know. And as the therapy and that went on, and they referred me into a program called a RAP program, which is a wellness recovery activation plan, which is basically looking at things in a toolbox to keep you well, you know. And it's from that really that I was able to put a plan in place for myself, with their guidance. And it was like a weekly, I think it was maybe an hour and a half every week or every couple of weeks. And that really had to point me in the right direction. You know, after that, it's of course my responsibility, and the things that work for me don't necessarily work for everyone. You have to sort of figure those things out for yourself.
And this week, as part of the Keep Well campaign, we're focusing on staying connected through services and supports during COVID-19. And now, you're no longer seeking these mental health services, but you're probably well aware of, if someone was using them before the pandemic started or started midway through the pandemic, that it's very important to keep up that level of communication and that level of contact, even through, if it has to be the likes of the Zoom calls or whatever it is, to not let it all fall by the wayside.
100%, you've hit the nail on the head. I'm no longer a service user because I've put sort of guidelines in place for myself, and I know the things that are there to keep myself well. And part of that is open lines of communication, both with my family and my friends. And you mentioned Zoom, and Saturday nights for me is a few beers, talking to some friends on Zoom calls, playing some poker with the guys, and you know, it's a few hours of laughing and joking and trying to win maybe, you know, a whole €50 at the very most. But that for me is like one of the, you know, especially during a pandemic, we don't get out as much and we don't get the normal kind of interaction and the normal kind of social outings that we would all normally have. I think that has been a real godsend to me, to be honest. It's been good to understand what sort of a social being I am as well, and I need those friends and families. I'm lucky to have some really close friends that are locally, of course, and then I've got some friends in America and New Zealand and in different places that I sort of exchange voice notes with as well, just to sort of stay in contact. And I go back to the wellness program or the wrap program, I suppose, because I learned in that you need sort of five or six key workers in my life. I need, just like you don't want to overload one mate with all your sort of your preconceived ideas of what a problem is, but, you know, with all of your problems, I've understood that, you know, I can lean on a few different friends if I'm having a bit of a rough time. And with that, I'm able to sort of divvy up in equal measure maybe whatever's annoying me at the time, and from that communication is really, really important. Yeah, and I'm lucky to find a good therapist over the years as well, a guy in Ballybay, Dr. Michael Fox, and he's a gentleman as well. I've felt that if I have any issues around, you know, my own kind of mental health, or if I get into kind of a crisis mode, I'd give him a call, and he said categorically there's no problems, just have a chat on phone, or we could have a Zoom call, or call in for a coffee as it used to be, but sure, we're not allowed to do that at the moment just yet. So open lines of communication are one of the most important things for myself. As I said, it took me a while to sort of kick my own butt into gear to really try and address the stuff that was coming up in New Zealand, and to step into a counsellor's, you know, office, or to try and access services either in New Zealand or in Ireland, it takes that step. But it's one that I'm eternally grateful for. Thankful to, it's not an egotistical thing, but thankful to myself to have that awareness to know that I needed help. Like, I suppose my go-to when I talk to folks about my own kind of struggles has been, like, if you've had a leaking tap, you know, you're going to ring a plumber. And the way I saw it was, like, I was really struggling with my own mind. I was in, you know, hours upon hours of turmoil and anxiety every day. And I said, well, who do you ring when you've got mind issues? Well, initially, of course, I went to my GP, and she did a few tests with me and diagnosed me originally in New Zealand with depression. And she referred me on to then speak to a counsellor there, and then I accessed services here as well. And, you know, it was one of those things that it had to be done for me. I didn't really have a choice the way I saw it. You know, I didn't really have many options left. So I thought, listen, I have to do something about it. And, you know, with the encouragement of my friends and my family especially, they really pushed me at the time to try and get it addressed. And I would definitely say that I always say the same thing, really, and if anyone's struggling, is to reach out. And it doesn't matter who to or where to. There's lots of lines you have, and you can ring anonymously if you don't want to give your name to your GP. Even your GP is a good point of reference, but, you know, if you don't even want to go down that path, then there are folks you can ring. There's Pieter House, and there's the Samaritans, and there's Aware, and there's lots of really good organisations that are out there that will happily speak to you day or night, which is just amazing. And I think it's changed an awful lot in the last 10 years.